come on, in a lot of ways, John touched on what I'm going to be looking at this week. When we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, it was my job to break up into the sections, the teachings. And I looked at John's teaching last week, which was Matthew 6. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, and John looked at Matthew 6, 1 through to 15. And today I'm going to be looking at 16 to 18. But if you were to read it, you would see that Jesus was pointing to three topics. And the topics were giving, or alms, A-L-M-S, as the King James Version says. But John looked at the NIV, which said, your good deeds, your charitable deeds. So Jesus was looking at your charitable deeds, your praying, and fasting. Now, when I looked at it, I thought, well, fasting, I don't want to combine with the other two. I wanted to look at that separately. Why? And this is more or less my introduction. We all, as Christians, know that we should pray. Don't we? It's part of the Christian life. We pray. Or we should. Maybe we don't as much as we should, but we pray. We give. We tithe. We do our charitable deeds. Why? Because we know we should. But fasting, we don't. We don't fast. And I apologise to anybody in the room who probably does, but I know for a fact that most of us don't. George, how can you say that? You don't know. Yes, I do, because I've asked. I've gone around for the last few weeks and I've asked people, how often, if at all, do they fast? And I wasn't surprised when most people say they don't. Now, most people will give up something for Lent. They'll give up something. I did. And I can only speak from a personal perspective. Before December, I didn't fast. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. It's not something that I enjoy doing. I like my food. And most people would be able to agree with me. We like our food. And if it means giving up, then I'd rather not know. But it's not right. If we are to look at Jesus' words here, and as I said, we're going to be looking at verses 16 to 18. And let's see what it says. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, that one word, when you fast. As earlier, Jesus said, when you do your charitable deeds, and when you pray, all expecting. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, and to the crowd as well, expected his disciples to fast. Expected his disciples to pray. and expected his disciples to give. Are we not his disciples? And why are we not fasting? A little bit of a testimony. As I said, up until December, it wasn't something that I did. And I am ashamed of that. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't think our excuse of, well, it was uncomfortable, will wash. I don't think that's going to be good enough. And up until before December, I didn't fast. I didn't want to. It was uncomfortable. I didn't enjoy it. So I avoided it. But then when the group of us went to Kansas City, I went because I knew there were things in my life that wasn't right. And some of us went, and some of us got something out of it. For me, it was life changing. And I believe it was life changing for Jonathan when he went last year. The difference shows. And it was life changing for me. And one of the reasons it was life changing for me was because I didn't fast. And God clearly spoke to me whilst I was there. And I cannot remember the day, but the actual teaching at the conference 2012 was on the Beatitudes. And I remembered reading this very scripture on a morning. Now, as many of us have been to conferences, you know what it's like. You'll have your talk, and there'll always be a room full of books or stalls selling books, DVDs, CDs, etc., etc. And whilst I was there this particular day, as I said, I'd read this particular scripture, and I didn't give it any thought. But when I went to the bookstalls, I was sort of led to this stand, and on it was several books about fasting, and sort of giving it a look, quick look, and then walking off. And I came back to this stand, and this little book, How to Fast Successfully, by Derek Prince. Tiny little book. You could read it in an hour. Big writing. You could actually give it to children and they would read it and understand it. And I picked it up and I'm looking at it and I saw the price. I thought, oh my goodness. And I put it back. But as I put it back, I put it back the wrong way. And I put it down that way with the back facing. And what did it say on the back? Jesus did not say, if you fast, but rather, when you fast. And I thought, I've just read that this morning. So I picked the book back up. And I sort of skimmed through it. And I opened it to chapter 2. And that was the page it opened on. And it says, should all Christians fast? And I stood there and I read the chapter, which was 2 pages long. And I bought the book. And since December, I must have read that book 4 times. And that little book has changed my life. In fact, I can honestly say it's changed mine and my wife's life. So, that's what I want to look at today. Why are we not fasting? And is it good enough? And the answer is no. It's not good enough. we need to take this as seriously as we take praying, as we take giving. So here Jesus is not telling us, if you feel like fasting, or if you want to think about it, he's telling us when we fast. So let's get started. Let's begin to fast. And another thing about the trip was that we came back and we realised that we were missing something. And I don't know if you remember, but before John and I went back in March to Kansas City, we asked you to pray. And we asked you to fast alongside us. And I know that people in the church were fasting and praying alongside us. And both John and I know in our hearts and are convinced that God answered that fast. When we met Keith and Brittany, we know and we knew that it was a divine meeting by God. We know that they are the people God has for us. And I truly believe that God answered our fast. It does work. So, let's get on to the sermon. So Jesus is not telling us whether we should or shouldn't. He's telling us that we should, and also he's telling us how we should fast and how we should not fast. And there, that's, and it's very important. Jesus tells us in the first line, do not fast as the hypocrites do. Who were the hypocrites? The hypocrites were the Pharisees. And Jesus tells us not to fast like they fast, even though they were fasting. Do not do it as they do it. Why? Because they were fasting to be seen by men. They were fasting to be seen by men. Just as they were praying to be seen by men. Oh God, look at me, thank God I'm not like him or her. I know how to pray. Don't fast like that. Look at me as I'm putting my tithe into the offering, but I'll just wait till all of these other people have gone, so you can see how big my bag is. Don't do it like that. And the same goes with fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. Can you hear my belly rumbling? That's how they did it. Don't do it like that, Jesus says. Because they are doing it so people can see that they are doing it. And Jesus is telling us, don't do it that way. Why? Because those hypocrites have received their reward in full. People have come up to them and patted them on the back. Well done. You must be really righteous. You must be really holy. You're far holier than me. Because I don't do it like that. And Jesus doesn't want you to do it like that. But if we are going to begin a life of fasting, we need to know how to do it. And one of the most important things, and I'll touch on it at the end after the sermon, is we need to know how to do it and how to do it safely. Not everybody can fast from food and drink. But I would like to say that everybody can fast. If you cannot fast from food and drink, you can fast from something. We live in a world today of technology. Computers, internet, laptops, iPods, iPads, whatever. We can cut out that and honour the Lord with our time instead. So who can fast? Everybody. But I'll talk about that at the end. But more important than that, Jesus is warning about the spiritual danger of fasting in the wrong way. And the whole of chapter 6, 1 through to 18 is telling us how to do it and how not to do it. He warns us in verse 16 not to be like them. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. So the hypocrites are those who do their spiritual disciplines to be seen by men. That is why they do it. That is the reward they get when people come and pat them on the back and say, good, you are fantastic. Also, as John said last week, it's lovely to be thanked by people. It's lovely when you come up and say to me at the end of the service, as you will this morning, wow, that was a good preach. I really enjoyed that. Come willingly. I accept. But, and let's face it, it's not wrong. There's nothing like the feeling of somebody coming up to you and saying, I heard what you did at the weekend. That was really good. We all need it. Everybody needs encouragement. And it's right to thank people when they have done something that's good. So many people in this church do works that are not seen by others. Lots of people. And they just come in and they do their good deeds without thanks from us. But guess what? Their Heavenly Father sees it. That's what it's all about. So there's nothing wrong with coming up and saying, well done, George, I enjoyed that. As long as that's not the only reason why I do it. When I start to preach from the front because I want your praises, then I need to step down. Because it's not about me. And it's not about John or anybody else that speaks here. It's about giving glory to him. But let me ask you this. Why is it hypocrisy what the Pharisees are doing? Why is it hypocrisy? They go about with their faces gloomy because they're fasting, and they're telling the people they're fasting. Why is it hypocrisy? Because hypocrisy is supposed to be, the meaning of hypocrisy is when we do something on the outside but we're totally different on the inside. So if the Pharisees are fasting and they're walking around telling people through their gloomy expressions that they are fasting, what are they doing wrong? They're fasting and they're letting people know they're fasting. They're being real. If you fast, why not look like you fast? And the answer is because Jesus calls them hypocrites. Jesus says, do not do what they do. And the answer is because their motivation is wrong. That's what it comes down to. They are not doing it for the right reasons. Why do we fast? What does it mean to fast? It means a hunger for God from the heart. It's a hunger of the heart. And that is why we fast. We're saying to God, Lord, I am hungering after you from my heart. But the Pharisees weren't doing that. The Pharisees were hungering for the praise of man. And that was wrong. And Jesus is telling us, do not do it as they do it. In order for them to not be hypocrites, they would have had to have gone round with a placard round their necks saying, look guys, the bottom line is I'm fasting so that you can see that I'm fasting and give me praise. Then they wouldn't have been hypocrites. They would have been showing their true colours. Look, I'm vain and I want your praise. So there are two dangers that the Pharisees have fallen into. One is that they are seeking the wrong reward in fasting, namely the esteem of other people. And the other is that they hide this with a pretense of a love for God. And Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. And we don't want to fall into that category. And yet, it is so easy to do. So what does Jesus say? Well, in verses 17 and 18, he gives us an alternative to their way of fasting, the way that he wants it to be done. And he goes on to say, but you, talking to his disciples, which are you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Now, does that mean that you cannot fast unless you go into a room on your own and not tell anybody? Is that the only way that we can fast? And the answer to that is no. There are many passages in the Bible that tells us of corporate fasting. And I was just going to ask Joyce if she would have read something, but she must have got wind of it. So I'll ask John instead. Have you got a Bible, John? If you will turn and read Esther chapter 4, verse 16, please. Let's see what happens in Esther. You got a large print.
4:16.
Yes, please.
Then Esther said, send this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maid will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.
So you see, Esther and the Jews at the time knew what it was to fast. And Esther, asking her uncle Mordecai to go throughout the land of Susa, or the city of Susa, and ask all of the Jews to come alongside and pray and fast with me. So it's biblical. And I tell you, if we as a church fasted together and prayed and came together often to do it, we would see radical changes within this fellowship. I know we would. And we've had a taste of it. We've seen what God will do if we fast and pray. So why don't we want this? We should be wanting this. But I don't think we've been taught this in the past. And I hold my hands up. I am guilty of this. But now that I'm aware of it, I won't be so complacent. And if somebody finds out that you're fasting, you haven't sinned. It's not wrong. When we asked you to come together and fast as a church, we don't expect you to go out into the street and, say to people, "Oh, I'm fasting because it's a church and we're praying for one another." We would ask you to come alongside us in fasting. So you would go to your homes and you would fast, knowing that you are fasting alongside others. And God hears that and honours it. Being seen fasting and fasting to be seen are not the same. I'll say that again. Being seen fasting and fasting to be seen are not the same. Being seen fasting is a mere external event. Fasting to be seen is a self-exalting motive of the heart. That's the difference. So, what does Jesus say? How does he say we should do it? Well, I believe that Jesus is testing our hearts. And John Kavanagh touched on this a little bit last week. If we do as Jesus says, we decide to fast, we go into our closet or our room, our secret place, we anoint our, we do our hair, we wash our face, we get into a prepared mode for fasting, we're saying to God, "Lord, I'm coming to meet you. Nobody else." Whereas, what we generally do is we tend to live on the horizontal lane, on the horizontal plane, on the horizontal axis. And what I mean by that is, if we're at the table, the dining table, and we pray in front of our children. Why do we do that? We do it because we think, well, if my children see me say grace, they'll go on to say their grace. Or if people see me come to church on a Sunday, they'll think, "Wow, yeah, I'd better go to church on Sunday, because if I've not been here for 3 weeks, they might notice that I'm not there." Or if my wife sees me reading my Bible, she might be inspired to read her Bible. And it's all on the horizontal axis. We tend to do the things we do so that others around us will see what we're doing. And that's not wrong. We've all done it. I've done it. I've thought, well, if I say my grace, then maybe Leon will say his grace when he goes home. No guarantee that he will. But we do it because we think they will. If my wife sees me reading my Bible every morning, then maybe she'll be inspired to read hers. And it's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. You know, if people see us doing our charitable deeds, that's great. But what we've got to be careful of is that that is not what it's about. Because bit by bit, we're pushing God out of the picture with regards to why we do the things we do. And I believe that Jesus now is turning us around so that we focus on the vertical rather than the horizontal. When he tells us to go into our secret place, does it really matter if we're only talking to God? That will determine how much we're thinking of God and not what others around us are thinking. So when Jesus tells us to go into our secret place, what he's saying is, as you go into your secret place, there's nobody around asking you, how's your fast going? How's your prayer life? What have you been doing this weekend? Because it's all about you and God. That's the difference. So Jesus tests our heart to see if God himself will be our sufficiency. When nobody else knows what we're doing, when no one is saying, how are you getting on with your fast? No one knows but God. Then you'll know within your heart, is God really real for me? Because if you go into a fast and you don't really believe that God is there, or you don't really believe that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek me, then what's the point in fasting? There's no point. Nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to know. You'll just be going through something that's difficult for nothing. So God has to be real and the main point for a fast. But what is the reward that Jesus talks of? And when we think about a reward, it sounds a bit mercenary, doesn't it? Sometimes I think, oh well, am I only fasting so I can get out of it? Or I can get back from God something? And the answer is yes. That's the reason for fasting. We go in, we fast, we pray for something. Let's face it, we're human beings. We don't want to go and skip a meal or skip food for a day and not really get anything out of it. I'd rather not. So maybe from a selfish point of view, yes, we are looking for a reward. And maybe it will be money. And that's not wrong either. Whatever you have that's troubling you, he is a God that wants to provide. After all, he is Jehovah Jireh. So if you're struggling in your finances, take it to God. If you're struggling in your health, take it to God. If you're struggling because your kids are not walking in his ways, take it to God. Look what Jesus says earlier on in Matthew 16. There you will find your answer. What are the blessings? What are the rewards that we will find, that we will receive? Let's look at verse 9 and 10. You all got it? You'll all know it anyway, even you children. Or you should. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those three petitions. That's what it's all about. How many times do we go into our secret place and we pray those things? We pray for our children. Lord, please bring my son, bring my daughter to know you. Why? So that your name might be hallowed. So they will go on to hallow your name. Why do we pray for the gospel to be spread abroad in Europe? So that his kingdom may come. Why do we pray for upright people in the government so that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven? They're the basis of all of our prayers. So that his name might be hallowed. His will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus is calling us to. Radical, God-oriented fasting. So I pray that if you don't fast, go home and think about it. Go home and think about it. Because it's biblical and it's expected of us. And you know what? We have a God who is brimming over with rewards for us, for our joy, and for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us, I pray, if we do not fast. I know that I have had to repent of this. And Lord, I thank you that you are the rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And a wonderful way to seek you is through fasting. And I pray, Lord, that in the future we will not only begin and continue to fast as individuals, but that we will come together as a church and fast corporately. Because I truly believe, Lord, that when we do that, when we come together, united as one, we will see radical things happen. And it's all for your glory. Amen. And Justin, whilst the ladies are sorting out the tea and coffee, there's four little things I want to just bring to our attention regarding fasting. One, I would honestly advise you to read this book. It's simple, it's very quick to read, and it will answer any question that you have regarding fasting, I assure you. But four little things that we should be aware of. One, who should fast? As I said before, everybody. It's biblical. Jesus expects us to fast, as he expects us to pray, as he expects us to give. But not everybody, as I said before, can fast from food or drink. For instance, diabetics. They cannot fast from food or drink. And I would strongly advise anybody that may have a medical condition, before they enter into a fast, seek medical advice. That's very important. But other than that, everybody should fast. And I think everybody should fast, even if they are diabetics or not. They can cut out something. Two, how should I fast? And the answer to that is prepare. You must prepare for a fast. If you've never fasted before, or if it's something that you do now and again, prepare your mind. Start small. Two things you must bring into it. You must believe that God exists. It sounds strange to say that, but you must believe that He is who He says He is. And secondly, you must believe that He is a rewarder of those, for those who diligently seek Him. Otherwise, you aren't going to get anything out of it. You might as well not fast. You've got to believe that He will provide you with what you're praying for. How should you fast? Well, if you've never fasted before, don't go in gung-ho, all guns blazing, and say, right, today I'm going to fast 24 hours, I'm not going to drink or eat. Make a decision to fast from food or drink. Don't fast from both, unless you know you can. Believe you me, if you've never done it before, you will fail. It's very, very difficult to do. You will end up disillusioned and probably never want to do it again. Start small. Skip a meal. That's the easiest way to do it. Mums, I would say, whilst you're looking after the kids during the day, it's going to be very difficult to fast at the same time. Better to fast from an evening meal once the kids have gone to bed. Because what you must do is, let's say for instance you're fasting from your evening meal, then the time that you would normally spend eating that evening meal, give that time to God. Because let's face it, that's what you're fasting for. You want to draw closer to Him. So use the time that you would normally eat your meal to spend with the Lord. How long should you fast? That's up to you. But like I said, start small. Did you know that in the Wesley, in the Methodist Church, up until not so long ago, the Methodists under John and Charles Wesley fasted twice a week, every week. Every week. Wednesdays and Fridays, from sunrise till 4 o'clock. That's a start. Start small. Start off missing a meal. And then slowly progress. If you can fast twice a week, which is a challenge, it's an aim, do so. Fast one meal a day, twice a week. Something like that, whatever you choose to do. But whatever you choose to do, commit to God and then stick to it. And then, if you want to, progress from there. Miss two meals a day. Maybe miss breakfast, have dinner, and then miss the evening meal. And grow slowly. But I tell you, it's amazing what the difference will make. And then lastly, how often? That's between you and God. Some people will do 2 days a week. Others will do 2 days, 2 full days a week. That is between you and the Lord. Don't rush it. Stick with what you are doing and commit to it. And then let the Holy Spirit lead you. But I tell you, if we start, when we start, we're going to see radical changes. You know why? Because I know you're going to go away and think about it. And I know you're going to go away and do something about it. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. And above all, give you His peace. Amen. Thank you for listening.